Well, this should be the last one on the sweet spot series today. But I can't guarantee that because Daddy keeps talking. And we're in a process. Everybody agree? You know, we didn't just start the race. We're running the race. And it's to the finish line. We need Jesus every step of the way. Can we all agree? And so I think today would be the last, amen, because it's challenging you to realize you cannot lose. There's no possible way for you to lose. Now, we can choose to lose with the loser. It's a choice. Amen. I can choose to, you know, live life logically and try to figure God out, and the enemy will keep letting me go down that road until I'm wore out. Anybody know how to do that? And you can go to church all your life and never be the church. But God set this thing up in such a way that you cannot lose. It's not that you won't fall. A righteous man or woman will fall seven times, but they do what? They get up, dust off, and say, let's go at it again. Amen. It's not that you won't fail, but you cannot lose if you keep asking, seeking, and knocking. Amen. And so we found out last week that in order for you to be effective, you have to realize you have all the faith that you need. Everybody agree? No, Pastor, I don't agree. I need more faith. I understand that. Ask, but the reality is that everybody breathing has all the faith that you need. Jesus uses the smallest thing he can relate, the people can relate to in his day, a mustard seed, and said, if you have this much, you can say to that mountain, be removed into the sea, and it'll be removed into the sea. And so some of you may be asking, because you weren't here last year, well, how do I know I have what it takes to move the stuff out of the way in my life that's just blocking my vision of the kingdom? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, right? The evidence of things not seen. Hope. Everybody has a level. It don't matter what you're going through. You have a level of hope. That hope is all you need to win. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. As a man or woman thinks, that's their heart. In their heart, so are they, right? Defer hope. But when you, amen, embrace a dream, on a dream that's realized, amen, is a tree of life. So dreaming is something that God has given to all of us. And while the world may label you and try to give you identity, that isn't who God says you are. That false identity or that label that you carry will try to steal, kill, and destroy your faith or your hope. It'll try to take your dream away from you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so the enemy's working overtime to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants God has already given you that makes you from his lens who he says you are. And the moment we arise, the enemy is scattered. The moment we agree with who he says we are, we win. Amen. This agreement is a simple amen, which means yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm going to go with what you're saying. I don't understand it. I really don't get it. But there's something inside of me that says, go for it. And God is faithful. He's just asking for us to trust him. He's not going to let you. You may fall, but it ain't going to be him that makes you fall. He's saying jump. He's going to catch us. He's strolling around on water, and he's asking us to walk with him. But we can't figure it out. And he wants us to get over the idea that we need to figure him out. And so you're set up not to lose. And I want to talk about that today. Amen. Because as we move through this, and I may not read a scripture, but you're going to hear the scripture fold. You're going to hear what God's been working on me, because I hope that I'm epistle, amen, read and known of you, that you're not seeing Dwayne, you're seeing something else go on inside of me that's from above. Amen? And it's God's design in your life as well. We need each other. Those who despise advice are looking for trouble. This is important for you to catch this, because this is so key. If you want to maintain walking in your hope, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And if you go home and read, it's giving you clues as to how your heart can get sick. Me and Jesus got my own thing going, our own thing going. No, you don't. That's not possible. God includes everybody else around you. Ain't no such thing. Me and Jesus got our own thing going. But it looks like that's the best policy, because you're safer if you and Jesus have your own thing going. Does that look the way in our world? And so you'll get to thinking that you're pretty intelligent. I've done that. I can preach this today, y'all. So much so that I'm not real smart. We need wisdom from above. I don't need more information, amen, in this world. I need more direction from heaven. I need breath from God. I need life, amen, today, so that I can, amen, embrace the dream or the hope that he has given me, and I can agree with him as who he says it. Because if I listen to what the world's saying, if I pay attention to all the information that's coming through Google, amen, I become a God, and that God Google needs to fall. Jesus is looking for me and you who have ears to hear what his spirit, not Google, what his spirit is saying to the church, so that he can have access to his house, you be in his temple, and he can be in his sweet spot. When you let him in, you can't lose. Amen? And so one of the big takeaways from last week is let the dream live. Embrace the hope that God has given to you. Amen. Don't despise advice, because you're going to get in trouble. Amen. Anyone who respects a command will succeed. I'm going to say that one more time, because that's not popular when you're trying to have it your way in life. The person who respects a command will succeed. It says it right there in Proverbs 13. Hope deferred makes the heart. You want your heart to get sick? You want to be sick? But yet, I'm in control. Now, God's not making me or you do anything. So can we all agree that God don't make nobody do nothing? He just don't do it. And the way we define command is like, oh, that's God's command. He's trying to make me do something. Well, who told you that? You see, the Ten Commandments are not there to make anybody do anything. They exist to reveal who he is. It's God's revealing of who he is to us. And he designed us to be like him. He put us together to walk with him. And so the enemy's goal is to just put enough leaven in anything that God says to make you offended with God. Amen? So we're going to talk about a few things today that makes you a winner. And you cannot lose. And the first one is, and we kind of touched it last week, is that we're made perfect through suffering and through trouble. Jesus, in Hebrews, says it just like that he was made perfect through the things that he suffered. God in flesh, 2,000 years ago, was made perfect by the things he suffered. And he's asking you and I to go with him on this journey, amen, and win the resistance through suffering. Does God want you to suffer? Nope. Does God want you to have to deal with trouble? Nope. But isn't it interesting that for you to get stronger, there has to be some resistance somewhere? For you to realize the value of something, there has to be some effort involved in the equation to realize the value. And he come after you and I, and he paid our debt off. Now, he was so into me and you that he found out what we owed, and it was his old, we owed his life. And he was the only one that could give it. We couldn't give it. We were doomed. We didn't have any hope. He became our hope. And he gives us identity, amen, by choosing you and me to be his house, the place of his abode. Amen. He don't want to be anywhere else in all of his creation. He wants to be in your heart and my heart right now. So his plan is he places the king, his kingdom in us. And he waits on me and you to choose to let him come be king of his kingdom within. So that through us, he can finish what he started. He can be glorified because we choose to let him be Lord of our mouth, our hands, our feet, every breath we breathe. We get on board with him, and that's called walking by faith. Amen. But he chose through the things that he suffered to be perfected. Now, I've come to realize that resistance in my life is something I don't like. Pain is something I don't like, because if I look at it the wrong way, I may react. Anybody ever reacted to resistance before? The point is, perfection, if you can learn to face what it is that troubles you, whatever storm it is you're going through, and you can learn to join with Jesus in it because he's there. He's in the storm. He's in the pain. He's in the disease, and he already won the battle over it. He's wanting us to trust him and respond to it correctly. But reality of it is, because I'm so intelligent, I react all the time. And my reaction is justified based on my intelligence, which lets me know I'm not as smart as I think I am. Okay, Pastor Lowe, you don't have to be funny about it because we get it. You don't have to keep throwing that in our face. No. I'm having to look at the guy in the mirror every day, and I have to put him in his place and remind him of who Daddy says he is, so that he can have, amen, what he purchased. I don't own myself. We've been bought by the debt that we owed. He gave his own blood and purchased us. He owns us, but he won't make us do nothing. And so trouble, suffering, resistance, what's going on in our world right now. If you're not careful, you can say you believe in Jesus, but you find yourself reacting all the time and saying things you shouldn't be saying and getting on Facebook and saying you shouldn't say and making comments you shouldn't, that Jesus wouldn't say. But I'm helping Jesus out because it needs to be said. It's like, Holy Spirit, you stand here right here for a little bit. I'm going to go take care of them right now. Has anybody ever thought like that before? And so we're believers, but we're always putting God on the shelf to go take care of things that he wants to go with us on and teach us how to respond and be in our sweet spot with him. And so, when I'm reacting, come on, this is so good. Suffering, I don't like it. What did Jesus conquer? Death, hell, and the grave. Did he not? Has death been beat? Does anybody fear dying? Now, if I'm always reacting to the challenges in my life, it confirms that I have a fear of death in my life. Because I keep doing stupid. Anybody keep doing stupid? I keep sinning. Everybody, man, I wish sin would quit doing what it's doing in my life. I keep saying what I shouldn't say. I keep doing what I shouldn't do. I keep messing up. Well, it's not the sin that's the problem. It's the fear that you have that's the problem. We're slaves to fear. And when you're a slave to fear, sin is the fruit. Well, this is really going to help somebody today because we got to get this. God designed you to be a winner, so he defeats death. But the enemy comes back, and he manipulates the way we look at death so that we fear it. Let me give you an illustration because the second point's important for all winners. God sets you up to win, which means we get connected to others. Illustration. When the fear of death reigns in my life, I react. Have you ever been in a situation recently where you were self-posturing and self-protecting? All of a sudden, a discussion, a topic came up, and next thing you know, you're kind of like, I don't agree with that. Bless God. Next thing you know, you're giving everybody your two bits. Now, that's country boy lingo for a piece of your mind. And you're reacting by self-posturing, self-protecting, because there's a sin problem there. And the sin problem only exists because you have a fear of dying, a fear of being overlooked, a fear of not ever being fulfilled. Guys, girls, get this today. Because hope deferred makes the heart sick. The dream that's been realized is a tree of life. Amen. So don't ever catch yourself despising advice because you're looking for trouble. You need each other. The reason I self-protect and self-posture is because the enemy's tricking me. He's attacking my identity so I won't get connected to you. The only reason you ever self-posture or self-protect your interest is because the enemy's playing you so you won't get connected to the God that you're missing out on. And it has to do with the people around you and in your lane. Amen? And anytime I feel like I'm being looked at from the wrong lens, amen, that's the evidence that fear is reigning in my life and not Jesus. Amen. What did Jesus come to put on display? Because he did it in a world that wasn't subject to him. And the writer of Hebrews says, we see Jesus in a world that's not subject to him. We see him. What is he putting on display? What's he demonstrating that's so important for you and I? What is it he's trying to tell me and you that sets us up to be the winner? We can't lose. He is putting on display. He is demonstrating identity and vocation. His vocation was the thing he suffered through that perfected him. But there's a difference between identity and vocation. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody's here that's agreed. You don't have to raise your hand that what I do is who I am. A lot of Christians that actually believe what they do, that's who they are. But your identity isn't having anything to do with what you do, what you have, and especially what others say about you. And if you agree that what you do or what you have or what people say about you has to do anything with your identity, you just believe the loser. And you're slave to the fear of death. And it will produce sin. You'll live a so popular life, you'll think everybody's against you all the time. I go to church, I believe in Jesus. I say, amen, good preaching, preacher. But man, you're always upset about what you feel like people think about you. Does anybody battle the fact, well, they think that this about me, or I can't believe they would think like that about me, and they ain't even thought a thought about you. And maybe they did. Maybe they said something. And then the evidence of self-posturing, self-protection, is the evidence that you're separating from God. What is sin? Separation from God, right? Sin is the product of fear. And so if I'm the enemy, my goal is to keep you separated from God. So naturally, I'm going to keep you battling being connected to others. And he loves for spouses to get divided because they're uniquely different. And they can't figure one another out. And they love to, but he set it up to where you can't do it. So the sooner you come to that resolve, the sooner you won't have to self-protect and self-posture with your spouse. You can agree together. We're fussing right now because Jesus ain't in the mix as number one. And we got these battle lines drawn because I believe my opinion, I believe the way I see it is right way to do. No, me and Tammy ain't never done that. We never done that. We didn't do it last week neither. All liars. So I qualify, encourage you today. Connecting the people around you. See, I have an identity here today, y'all. May I feel God. I have an identity right now that's been given to me from heaven. And there's something he wants to do with the identity he's placed in my life that connects with you. It encourages you. If I hang out with you, your identity encourages me. And it edifies me. And it builds me up. And if I'm not allowing that to happen, it's not God's fault. He went all the way to pay my debt off, the death I deserve to die, so that I could have this way of life of connecting. Your identity is so powerful. Please, please quit taking what's going on in our world personal. The negative, the darkness, the social unrest, the politics, all this, the disease, all that stuff, if you can't see Jesus in it, it's because you are slave to the fear of death. And you're only going to produce what comes out of death, and that sin, division, sickness, disease, blindness, disconnection. So I ask the Lord every week. That's why I can't tell you what he's going to do next week. For me, I ask the Lord every week, what is it about this identity that you've given me that you're going to encourage the people you have me serving? What are you going to do this week that's going to build their faith so that they can believe in who you say they are? We're set up to win. We're not set up to lose. And so Jesus sets it up to where trouble, suffering, trials, tribulation, social unrest, disease, all that stuff in the mix, when you see him in it and you join with him in it, you become perfected and you don't react no more. You only respond. And now he's in his sweet spot. Amen. And you're walking by faith. You're walking in the Spirit to the point that now your response is attractive. It's salty. People are attracted to it. They want to connect to you. What is it you got that I don't have? I want it. Anybody tracking with me? When you can get, amen, so in fellowship with the Spirit of God that you feel in this room right now, you come into an agreement with them on the level that whatever's going on in our world, you're just with Jesus, amen, and you're just walking with him. You don't understand very much that's going on. You're just with him. And everybody's saying, How do you do that? How do you have that peace? How do you have that joy about you? Where did you get this confidence? How do you do that? And it starts with covenant. Amen. We all believe in New Life Fellowship with all of our heart that you receive the promise. And the promise is baptism of spirit and fire. You experience freedom through that experience with God, the kind of freedom that helps you step into your identity. You become a world changer. Everyone has that hope. Everyone has that dream inside of them, amen, to be a part of God's grander purpose and mission. But to be a part of His mission and not have the great command on the inside that we love others even as we love ourselves, ain't possible. Amen? And so, it's through the challenges that you are enduring, the strain on the marriage, the strain on the health, the strain on the, amen, politics in your world, that God is saying, come go with me. I'm going to perfect you with what's not right. And if you could get a resolve today to quit worrying about what's going on around you, this is the way He would tell you, don't look to the right, don't look to the left. Take your stand with the prize, Jesus Christ and Him crucified, determined to know nothing else until He breathes on you. Come on, when you make a decision, I'm not going to let my world run me and all the soap operas going on in my life impact me. I'm going to respond to what He did for me 2,000 years ago. I'm going to respond every day based on His love for me so that He can love through me and I become connected. You can't lose. When you resolve that coming into covenant with Jesus Christ and allowing that covenant, which is promise of baptism, spirit, and it's not something that was just for them back then. It was not just for a certain day, but it's to all flesh. And you come under that covenant and you let that experience that began on a certain day, amen, for all flesh happen to you, you will experience freedom from the fear of death and dying. You will experience freedom from sin holding you captive and you carrying around the fruit of sin because you have the fear of dying, eating you up. Amen. You start getting connected. Connection is important. Because once you resolve that what makes you a winner is that you go through the challenge, you go through the suffering with Jesus, you get connected with Him. Amen. You get connected with others around you. Then all of a sudden you're truly walking by faith. You have true vision now. You can see Jesus on demonstration. Anybody want to walk in His steps? Anybody want to know that you stay under the spot where the glory falls out? And that you're just walking in the Spirit all the time? And that you now have a single eye. You're not double vision. You have single vision. And it don't matter what's going on, you're walking in the winner's lane all the time. You experience the kingdom of God all the time. Amen. It's not something futuristic, ladies and gentlemen. It's now faith. Now faith is the substance. Now, today, the present moment, the rhythm of God, the amen, the harmony of Him speaking, Him singing into our lives. Amen. And we see Him on display. The interesting thing about Elijah, he had a sidekick that Gehazi, that is he's seeing all the stuff going on, kind of like most Christians are in our world right now. God, man, Armageddon's about to happen any moment. Let me encourage y'all. This is for me. It may not be for anybody else. Let me encourage you. God has given me vision. I can see some things that He's ready to do. And I'm not going to miss out on it because all the distractions going on. all these distractions going on. And Christianity is all these distractions. Well, this, that was, yep, that's 666, and that's the Antichrist. And yeah, that's, well, what are you doing about it? Well, we're just getting prepared right now. We ain't got time to go out and win nobody. He could come any moment. Pastor Lowe, quit mocking. No, no, I'm putting the enemy under my feet. What the Lord's doing right now is trying to give us a single eye. The fields are white unto harvest. Where are the laborers? And they're kind of like the group in Acts chapter 4, freaking out because someone said, if you preach in his name, I won't kill you. This has happened in the Christian right now. They're freaking out over all the stuff going on in our world, and so it's doom, despair, agony, defeat. Y'all get ready now. Been to go through great tribulation. And they're so spiritual, man, they can't help nobody. I'm not being sarcastic towards the kingdom of God. I'm letting the enemy know he was defeated 2,000 years ago. And you can't lose. And you need to catch this today. You can't lose. Don't let eschatology be greater than the kingdom of God message, which is good news. Amen. Boy, I felt good about that one. And if some of you want to talk to Pastor Lowe about my faith and where God's taking us and what this vision looks like, you can meet with me anytime. I'll work it out. I love talking about the good news. What God's given me is not bad news. It's good news. It's good news. It's good news. Amen. And it brings hope, and it brings joy, and it brings peace, and it brings confidence, and it brings edification, and it brings people into identity. And don't get them running and hiding. Amen. And so he's given me vision and clarity of some things that, amen, he's about to do. And if what he's telling me he's about to do, he's basically saying, son, don't worry about me coming to get you today. I've got plans for you. And if you don't have that, the voices in our world, the religious forces that are talking, will put you in your house hiding. Running from everything. So you won't be salt and light. As a winner, you're salty. You're light. And all this other stuff that's going on, you ain't worried about it. When it gets around you, it has to submit. It has to die. It's got to run 7 different ways when you truly believe. So Gehazi saying, looks like it's over with for us, Elijah. Lord, would you open up his eyes? And that's what some of us need, and that's what our community needs. That's what our world needs, but we start here in our community. Worried about what's going on in our world. No, God needs to open up your eyes. And I'm praying that the fear factor that's attacking great anointed people of God be cast down and their eyes be open. God ain't wasting no time. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And if anything in this world is getting that and robbing that joy from me, I need you to address it. You are winners. You cannot lose. My wife and I knew we were going to be in ministry before we came to San Antonio. We didn't know what it looked like. But she and I agreed on the fact that, hey, she knew that before she married me. Well, we didn't know what it looked like. We thought missions, you know, go build a building and invite people to come go to church. And God worked with it. Isn't he good? But he didn't tell me about the process. And this is going to help somebody today. He didn't tell me that before he brought us here, that my business was going to get under audit by the state, and they were going to accuse me of owing a whole bunch of sales tax. Encourage you. I'm not a thief. They found out after we went through the storm of it that, oh, we made a mistake. And the Lord had to tell him, he said, no, that was for you to develop, son, to grow up. He didn't tell me and my wife that she was going to go through an attack in her health. And she would have to go through, and I carried her from one place to the next for quite some time. And he's still talking. I mean, God's talking, giving me vision. Amen. And the Lord, I don't understand. I don't get this. Why are we going through this? What's going on here? Because I go pray for somebody else and they get a miracle. And you be sure I was praying for my wife. And I got intense with some of my conversations with God for her. And he'd always come back and say, son, I got this. I'm going to take care of it. Watch me. But, you know, the suffering part, the growing up part, the development, the coming into identity thing that we don't like. And the enemy's hoping that he can wear me down so that I'm reacting instead of responding. But I had people I was connected to that was praying for me. And I did not despise advice. I wasn't looking for more trouble. And I respected the command because I found out where the command came from. You see, when God talks to us, hey, he's fun. When he talks to us, he wants confirmation and validation. And where do I get that from? Being connected. Me and my wife, we knew we was going to do, we call it missions. God sends a prophet into my life named Sterling Pilot. I go pick him up every day because he's ministering at my home church, and the pastor had me go pick him up every morning, go get him coffee. I didn't even drink coffee. I didn't like it then. But that prophet said, no, you're going to drink a cup of coffee with me. And I choked it down. Like, man, my first cigarette. And then became a chain smoker. Every time you see me, I got a cup of coffee. But I'd come pick him up, and it was shortly after he said, son, I had a dream last night about you. And he said, it was so real. And he went and described the dream, and you're standing in the dream right now. You're part of the dream. He shows me. He said, this Lord showed me this. And he didn't know, because I didn't tell him, what my heartbeat was and what me and my wife knew we were going to do. But I'm just a puppy, wet behind the ears, still gnawing on stuff. But he brought some clarity into my life about, okay, what did you think that did to my faith? What do you think that did to my trust and my zeal and my confidence? While I'm going through something and my wife's going through some resistance, those connections started building confidence. And instead of letting the resistance cow me down, I just focused a little bit more. God said. Well, I believed he said it when he told me the first time, but the resistance is trying to steal it from me. So he sends key people into my life that I was subject to, humbled before God, said, thank you for these connections, Lord. I didn't despise the advice. It brought his command. This is who I called you to be. This is my plan for your life. What me and my wife were doing became a command. And he wasn't making us do it. We were finding our hope in it. We were finding our relief, our peace in it. We were finding our identity in it. Then another connection. I didn't even know him. Hadn't met him before. Named Freddie Clark. Went to a meeting with a lot of ministers, and my pastor, he knew when I said, look, I need you to pray about it. He said, I already know. So when he said, I know, that's what you're going to be doing, faith went up another notch. He said, God showed me that a while back. But I'm undercover. I'm connecting. I'm not despising advice, and I'm not despising those that God has placed in my life that help facilitate his command in my life. You see, he ain't making nobody do nothing. We get to go with him on this journey. But he foreordained and already set and ordered up your steps. He knows who you are better than you know you. And when he's inviting you to step in your true identity, it's to bring you to a place of fulfillment. The dream becomes reality. I don't know, Frank, I'm sitting in a group this size of a building, ministries, and he's walking back and forth, and when he stops, he points, and I'm sitting in the middle with my pastor, and my pastor's there with me. He just confirmed. Sterling Pilot's confirmed. Grandma's confirmed. I mean, I got a lot of faith right now. But he stopped, and he points straight at me, and I looked at him, and he said, no, you. You're going to go, aren't you? And I said, yeah. Thank you, Lord, for another confirmation. No, he didn't stop. Three times during him encouraging people with the love of God, he turned and said, you're going to go, aren't you? My pastor turned to me and said, I reckon you're going, ain't you? God didn't stop. He just kept, and it was all about being connected. So whatever it is that anyone, it don't matter who it is, anybody that you see in a derogatory lens, anybody, you really don't know who they are. You don't know how important they are to you. Well, Pastor, I'm going to have to live up to Jesus. I'm going to have to forgive him 490 times in one day. You'll get over it. You'll stop reacting. And eventually, you'll start responding to what God's actually doing through them that's going to help you into your true identity. You can't lose. You may fall. You may react a few times. You may drop the ball out of bounds. But you're still on the team. You're designed to win. It's God's ordained plan for you. And God's talking to several of us right now of certain personalities that we've already said, Lord, if you just let me knock them in the head, as soon as they pray, they'll make it to heaven. And you're looking for them to pray so you can go knock them in the head potentially. Pastor, we're not that crude. Well, really, if you think it in your heart, so are ye. It's not about the act of murder that you'll go to jail for. It's the murder that we do in our heart with the relationships that God has placed in our lane. We're defrauding them and God. And when I choose not to be connected to you, I'm telling him I don't want to be connected to him. It don't matter who they are, if they're breathing, y'all, catch this. You're designed to win, not lose. He wants to talk to you about personalities. Well, I love them, but I don't have to like them. Where did that lie come from? I've heard it in Christianity. I've even agreed with it so I didn't have to put up with stupid. And all it did was make me the stupid one. There's people in my life right now, they're coming and they're saying, look, I got to go take care of this. I'm just going to obey God. I don't know what to do with it. I don't know how to handle it. I'm afraid of it, but I'm going after it because fear's not going to rule in my life. And they're breathing, and he don't stop going after them. And I don't know what it is about them that he's wanting, but I'm going to join with them until I see it. And when you do something like that, what do you think that does to his heart? I'm a daddy. I'm a daddy. I don't like my kids fussing with one another. I like to see my kids together. What does that do to a father that loves his children? How much more is our Heavenly Father passionate about his kids being together and not looking down or in a different light towards one another? Everybody has value. And the ones that kind of rub my proverbial hair the wrong way are more important to me than I can imagine. And I need God to help my imagination. Am I helping somebody here today? Did you need God to help your imagination? Do you need God to help you get a single eye? The only reason anybody's ever bothered me, I have double vision, and I need to be set free. You cannot lose unless you choose to lose with the loser, the liar, the manipulator, the one that's trying to control you to stay slave to fear.